Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha. So nice to sit with you in a real live way and certainly in Zoom way. It's nice to have such a big, nice group. So we're all meditating. We're all meditators, and we're really doing our very best to open to the whole range of life. Not just the 10,000 joys, but also the 10,000 sorrows. Because it doesn't work the other way. It just flat doesn't work. And why? Well, it's the law of nature, and that's what Buddha discovered, was just the laws of nature. So the good, the bad, and the ugly is a must. If we don't have that option, if we truly want to find out who we really are. And so even in the psychological side of life, and we've talked about this, called the shadow self, Even that information about ourselves must be known. And that's not easy. For one thing, some of us don't know how to touch that or even get to know that shadow self, which it's scary. You know, we're afraid to go there. Jack Kornfield, as all of you know, says, in truth, the need to deal with our personal emotional problems is more the rule in spiritual practice than the exception. What do you mean? Well, exactly what Jack says. Our personal emotional problems have to be brought into our practice, or we will be spinning our wheels. So we've talked a lot about that too. We have to bring the mind and the body and all our behaviors and how we relate to life to our spiritual work, because it's only that combination that the Buddha says we're going to get a true picture. I mean, why do we have these minds and bodies? I mean, you know, if you're going to ask that question, that seems to be a good answer. It's a vehicle to what we have failed to see within us, the Buddha nature. So as we practice, we begin to find ourselves. Sometimes we find this with our students, sometimes unable to do the insight meditation. And you can understand why. Because sitting by yourself, being quiet, looking at what's going on inside is no easy thing. And so, because we encounter these things that we have pushed away. Unresolved grief, fear, wounding, and unfinished developmental business from the past. And the past can go all the way back to when you're 5, 6, 7 years old, even before that. So that is our meditation. it is what it is. So in every tradition, Jack says, even the most successful Western seekers will, after periods of powerful meditation and deep insights, guess what happens? Those shadow, those things that we've stuffed, that we think really aren't there, we begin to re-encounter these painful patterns. Now, don't say, oh, something's wrong with me because I haven't been. I haven't been. No, don't do that. Just wait. No, that's what's so wonderful about the teachings is that it gets us ready. We're in pre-primer of how to get honest with ourselves. And so, we still have some parts of us of where we are unconscious. So in order to touch those places, first of all, we will have to ask for it, or at least have a preference for it. Because as we know, what we open to can come to us. But what we deny and push away is just going to stay the same old, same old. So suddenly, who knows when it happens? It certainly has happened to me over the last 40 years. Is old patterns of suffering, neurosis, attachment, delusion. Hey, wait a minute. How did that happen? Well, we already talked about we live in two worlds, and the mind and body needs to be known and understood. The mind along with the body in order for us to open to who we really are. So Jack says that we just flat hadn't practiced enough if these things have not come up. And so the Buddha teaches us what to do with the stuff that comes up, because what happens if we don't know what to do with it, we will not practice. We will run away. You know, we'll find some excuse not to become intimate with ourselves anymore because it hurts too much. So he says, Jack, and he was our teachers, he says, we create an erroneous belief that good students, I'm a good student, just because of longevity, believe should be capable of facing the whole spiritual path by themselves. Really, we got caught up in that 40 years ago, and our teachers had to pull us out because we were in the spirit, but we were not in the mind and the body, and it shows. It's a clue to ourselves. And so asking for help outside of this practice has been a great, great insight for me, because I do find myself stuck in some spinning my wheels and some of the issues that I've been with forever. Anger, control. Does it ring a bell to you? Control. Yeah. And it is only through release, and it's only through surrender, that all these great teachings have an impact on us. So we are spinning our wheels if that's all we want out of this practice. It can hurt, you know. It certainly is useful, but it will not bring you more happiness. Because guess what happens? You get stuck in your old behaviors. Meditation will transform our behaviors if we are open to it. But sometimes we don't see ourselves, you know, we have these blind spots or we don't want to. And so someone else, thank goodness I have someone like that, someone else can say, "Nita, what did you just say?" In fact, that just happened right before we meditated the other day. "Nita, what did you just say?" And I made a little sly remark, you know, that was optional and it didn't need to be there. I mean, right before I meditated, and in that process, guess what the whole meditation was about? Oh, I shouldn't have said that to him. Guess what his meditation was about? I can't believe she said that little snide remark. No, I don't know. That's not the way, is it? But can you see what I'm talking about? So Jack says a skilled psychotherapist or any counselor or teachers or someone you love and respect that you will allow to share those kinds of things that you just want to keep to yourself. And that's where the healing begins. Ask him for help. "Oh, no. I know the teachings. I've studied them for 40 years. I know them. I can teach them." See where that will stick us? But then what happens when I wash the dishes? Well, what happens if something doesn't come my way that I wanted, or I'm irritated? So what happens with these behaviors that we ourselves don't even want to live with, much less, you know, others have to deal with? So addressing the most painful areas of our life, it would be the nicest, compassionate thing you have ever done for yourself. So we can look at our common patterns, processes, unhealthy defenses. We've talked about that. Isn't it hard to make a mistake? We've talked about this a lot. And yet we're not perfect. We're perfectly imperfect, but we can't even the smallest mistake be able to be honest about it. "Oh, I just made a mistake. Let's pretend it didn't happen." And you're saying, "Well, so what?" Well, truth liberates us, whether we want to believe it or not. And truth on every level, and certainly truth on our behavioral level, is included. So we find ourselves unable to bring what we have learned in meditation into our interaction with the rest of our lives. Some of us, I know there's some in this Sangha that's been in some programs, 12-step program, or have a relationship with many people who have training with human behaviors. And it's helpful. What I have found in our students, yogi students, that have had that kind of help, that is provided in the 12-step, ACA, or you know, any good, healthy, therapeutic processes. And again, sometimes it can just be someone you love dearly but is honest and open. So don't be afraid of counselors or therapists, because they are so helpful. And what I find in our students that have had that kind of interaction, someone besides themselves being able to see themselves, is they get a head start. They get a kind of a head start in this because we're bringing it with us. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're bringing it with us instead of, I started out saying, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to have these wings. I'm going to be sugar and spice and everything nice. Nope. Doesn't happen that way. I'm nicer. Some behaviors have shifted. But then there's some that are just stuck in mud or stuck wherever they are. And why do I know that about myself? Well, I've got someone living with me that reminds me, and he loves me dearly. But also, I want to know him. I mean, I want to be completely happy. I don't want to be just a little happy or just a little bit more happy. I want the whole enchilada. And so, whether our patterns of contraction and unhealthy sense of identity have their roots, and where do they have? Well, of course, in our childhood. And that's why we have people out there that know what to do and help us through those kinds of things when we get stuck. And when we are not willing to face them, it's hard. So this is a truth. Jack says this. It is simply not true that time alone will heal you. Did you get that? So it's not longevity, or I'd been enlightened by now. So over time, of course, we may well become more open and more learning to love ourselves and to understand that we are human beings who are perfectly imperfect. So we begin to honor ourselves as a human being. And guess what we start doing? Oh, no. You mean we start sharing our imperfections with anybody? I don't know about you, but that's what women have been doing all the generations. Yeah, you know, but, you know, not everyone, and certainly not every woman, has ever had that kind of therapy. Because sharing it all is so therapeutic, along with your spiritual practice. And it's not something you can share with just anyone. But usually it's people who have worked on themselves. So Jack says he says that awareness does not automatically transfer itself from one dimension of our life to another. Two worlds. One foot in this world, one foot in the spiritual world. Awareness does not automatically transfer itself from one dimension of our life to another. Compartments remain in the areas where our fears, our wounds, and our defenses are the deepest. And so Jack says, thus, he says he's encountered graceful masters of tea ceremonies who remain confused and retarded in intimate relations. That's just what Jack said. Or he says, yogis who can dissolve their bodies into light, but whose wisdom vanishes when they enter the marketplace. In comparing the practice of a psychotherapy and meditation, it is important to recognize that all the techniques that we could get, even the ones, not only the ones under a spiritual umbrella, because that's where we're pointing ourselves, but under the other umbrella of people who understand more than maybe we about how we're making ourselves miserable. And so the simple tools doesn't matter when you're practicing this type of meditation. It doesn't matter. You've got the foundation. You know what to do with everything. You know the laws of nature. So we don't have to be afraid. Oops, that's not Vipassana. Oops, that's not whatever I've attached myself to. So we want this practice to be fluid. We don't want to use it as an excuse to close down around life. So let's watch ourselves. What do we bring to washing the dishes? What are we bringing? We know, we're seeing, we're feeling what's going on in our bodies. What are we bringing to someone who's rude to you? What are we bringing when we don't want to do something that's important that we do? So that's your practice. Your formal meditation enables you to do just that through the day. Now, the daily practice is a must, because then it enables us, and I don't know why, it's the laws of nature, but a better look. We bring it with us throughout the day. And so we begin to learn things about ourselves in interacting with life. So I'm getting run out of town. Out of time. Because I can't get run out of town if I do run out of time. So, just as meditation fosters the practices of careful attention and balance, of inquiry, of surrender and letting go, all of those tools, Jack says, we touch in learning how to meditate. I love my friends who have had therapy. they're wonderful. I mean, it's so wonderful. And will they be helpful? Well, they certainly have been helpful to me. And so it's just kind of a nice relationship, you know. It's kind of like the two come together to help or support the whole system. I'm getting pretty dramatic, am I not? So, the mind needs healing. And this is where I've had a big breakthrough. The mind needs healing, and just getting to know it may not be enough. That's from Jack Kornfield, who's the therapist, and Randy and I started practicing with over 40 years ago. And the thing about it is, in this lesson, I took it right from Jack on the path. What's the name of the book?
Path of Heart.
The Path of Heart. And it's all inclusive. And he wrote it. When did he write it, Randy?
I don't remember the year.
But it is so comprehensive, if you can be so comprehensive. It is comprehensive. So if you, and I'll send it out. If you want to know the scope and sequence of what could act, might happen, if you decide to do this practice, get the book. I use it as a resource all the time, and I'll send it out to you so you don't have to remember it. Okay, he says a lot more, so I'll probably continue along these lines for at least one more session. And so at this time, I get to stop, and then we can open it up to questions, clarifications, comments. Thank you.